Okay, this week's parasha is Parashas Vayera. Because in Parashas Vayera, we know from when we were younger children, we learned a lot of amazing episodes take place in the parasha. Avraham Avinu's unusual Achnas Orchim at the beginning of the parasha, when he's just 3 days after his Bris Milah, in a very, very painful 100-year-old state. And he has an unbelievable display of Achnas Orchim, and we have the story with Sodom and the many, many very, very important episodes that take place in the parasha, culminating at the end of the parasha of the Akedah. Akedah Yitzchak. But I want to share with you one insight from the beginning of the parasha that I really believe is very, very powerful and fundamental, and really can be a life-changing idea if we think about it and internalize it in the right way possible. It says at the beginning of the parasha, Avram picks up his eyes, Ayesoyin Avayar, Vinei Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav. He sees there are three men, quote unquote, standing there. And Rashi explains that they don't want to bother him because they realize that he had a Bris Milah. And they're not really men, they're Malachim, as we know, they're angels. And Rashi says, who are these three men? There are three angels. Obvious question is, why do you need three angels? Why couldn't Hashem send one angel? Rashi says famously the following thing. Echad levaser es sar. One angel's job is to come and tell Sarah the good news that she's going to be expecting a baby a year later. Second one, echad lahafoch es Sodom. To go ahead and turn over the city of Sodom, which actually is the next move that the Malachim make when they leave Avram, they go straight to Sodom. And the third one, the echad lerapos es Avram. To heal Avram. Then Rashi adds the following words. She'ein malach echad oseh shnei shlichus. Because one angel doesn't do two jobs. Now, we're not angels, we're people. But Rashi's telling us something which we're supposed to learn a message to from our lives. So why does it matter to me that angels don't do two jobs? Why do I have to know that? What does that do for me in my life? What can I learn from that in my life to make me into a better person? That angels don't do two jobs. Rabbi Ruchel Levavitz, it's in this beautiful sefer I have in front of me called Das Torah, which I give a chabur on in the yeshiva to Shana Ben on Wednesdays. So I actually did a little bit of this piece yesterday with my Talmidim, Shana Ben, has the following beautiful insight. Listen carefully. He points out that the power of a malach, the power of an angel, is very, very great. In many ways, much, much more powerful than human beings. They're not limited like we are limited by time and space. They have different abilities that transcend in many, many ways the ability of human beings. And yet, Hashem does not send one malach to do two missions. You know why? Here's the Yisod Rabosei. Here's the idea. A malach has to be singularly focused on his mission. He has to be zoned in 100% on the task at hand. He can't be bothered with two things at the same time. He can't be multitasking, worried about this and about that. When a malach does something, he's supposed to do it 100%. Not 99%. Not 50%. 100%. That is the lesson of the malach doing one shlichus. It means he's totally there. Every facet of his essence is totally involved in the task at hand. He's not telling Sarah and at the same time worrying about his next move, his next trip to Stone, or healing Avram. No, each one has a mission. And when he's doing that mission, that's all he is doing. There's nothing else in the world. Everything else totally comes to a halt, does not exist. That is the idea of a malach doing one task and only one task. Rabbi Yochanan Levavitz in his sefer over here extrapolates this message and applies this message to human beings as well. Abosai, in order for us to do actions the best way possible, we have to be focused 100% on the task that we're doing. We have to be all there. Not half there, not just sitting there, but really somewhere else, but all there. You know, I believe that one of the great rabbis taught that we are where our minds are. Which means, we could be sitting in this room right now, physically here. But are we here? Well, it depends. If our minds are here also, if our heads are here, if our thoughts are here, we are here. But if our thoughts are on, what am I going to put on my bagel for lunch in 5 minutes from now? Then guess what? We're actually physically in this room. We're not here. We're in a bagel. Which we're deciding that tuna, cream cheese, maybe a tuna melt on the machine. I'm debating right now. That's where I am. We are where our minds are. And that is a great opportunity, but also a great challenge. And why is that challenge so great? I'm not to tell you, you can tell me more than I can tell you. But we live in a world that's really fast. And that the attention span that people have in this world is extremely, extremely small. One of my brothers-in-law worked for many years for Google in Manhattan. Google, the company Google, which we're all very familiar with, Google. He told me once that one of his jobs, one of his tasks, a certain job he had to do in Google, was he was trying to work on a certain team. I don't understand the details of this, I'm not such a tech guy at all. To basically grab the attention span of people in a certain amount of milliseconds. Because when you go on Google and you press, you search something, you search news, how much time do you have to grab the person to come to your news site as opposed to another news site? And the answer is a tiny amount of milliseconds. You know why? Because if they don't like exactly what they see that second, you know where they're going to go? To 5 other sites instantaneously. Because why? Because our attention span, I will say, is very, very small. Very, very little. You know why? Because there are so many things. I'll give you one example. Exhibit A, up in the air, right here. Exhibit A, that pull us away so quickly from things. And we can't focus. It's so challenging for us to focus. And you know what? Because of that, you know where we are a lot of times? We're everywhere. And when a person is everywhere, you know where he really is?
Nowhere.
He's nowhere is correct. And we could be everywhere and nowhere. And if we are everywhere and nowhere, unfortunately, then how much of our day are we really using properly to accomplish? How much of our time are we using to the max? How many moments of our day are we 60 seconds pulling out of those moments? And the answer is, it depends. If we're there, all there, then we're maxing out. And we're getting tremendous amounts in our moments. But if we're not all there, like the Malach who's fully there, we're missing out on a lot of our days. Chazal tell us the most amazing drasha. Chazal tell us the following thing. If your Rebbe is like a Malach, then you should seek out Torah from his mouth. But if he's not like a Malach, don't. A very strange Gemara. It's a Gemara. What does it mean? Truth be told, there are many pshatim. One pshat, I think, is that a Malach is very spiritual. And a person's Rebbe should not just be like a regular on the same spiritual level as he is. A person should look up to their Rebbe. And therefore, your Rebbe should be, in a certain sense, a Malach in the sense that he's on a spiritual level. That's a higher plane than you are. That's totally fine. That's appropriate. My Rebbeim are on a much, much higher plane spiritually than I am. But in light of this drasha of Rabbi Rucham, in light of this drasha in Rashi, that each Malach does one task. There's another message over here, which is that a person should choose a Rebbe who is like a Malach. What does that mean? It means he's totally focused on the task at hand. When you're talking to Rebbe is there with you. How much? 100%. He's not multitasking. He's not looking at his phone every few minutes to see what calls he's missing. He's there, 100%. I got to tell you, in my life I've been zochet to have many rabbanim, but there are a few that I call my Rebbe, that I speak to a lot on different issues. One I'm zochet to have there in Israel, and one in America, besides my father and other rabbanim as well. But I can tell you one thing which is so unique about both these two rabbanim is this point. Whenever I talk to them, it's not just me, whenever anybody talks to them, you see that they are fixed, locked in, totally engrossed and engaged in the conversation and the person that they're talking to. They're not, even though they have very busy lives, and they have a lot of things going on, But when they're somewhere, they're really there. I'll give you a point, case in point. Last night, in Ma'apen Shemesh, where I live, there was a big gathering. Why? Because there's elections coming up in Israel. And there was a big gathering from a certain group of people in the community trying to rally a certain candidate for the elections of the mayor of Beit Shemesh in that community. How important was this rally? Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, one of the Gedolei Ador from Bnei Brak, came special to Rav Ma'apen Shemesh last night to lend his vote of approval for a certain party. Okay, say that. So they had a beautiful dais, big front table with two levels. All the Rabbanim from Ma'apen Shemesh on one level, and some of the local politicians from Ma'apen Shemesh on the other level at the dais. The big Rabbanim came and spoke. Very nice. My Rebbe, one of the Rebbe I mentioned before, I won't say his name, came to the gathering. He wasn't yet escorted up to the dais. He was still standing in the crowd. He doesn't carry himself to be a very, very chashuv person. He probably didn't think he was going to go up to the dais. I knew he was going up to the dais, but he didn't know. And there was a rabbi sneaking. And there were literally, I'm not exaggerating, there were thousands of people there. Thousands of people there. A rabbi was speaking, a rashi was speaking. A rabbi came in the middle of the speech, and he was listening to the speech. Now, most people that were listening to the speech were listening with half their ear, or with one ear. And the other ear, they were, you know, looking around, scouting out the situation, like me. I was like that. I wasn't listening fully. But I walked over to my Rebbe. I was about to leave. I wanted to give Shalom Aleichem to my Rebbe. So I literally, he was standing there with his hand behind his back, shuffling back and forth, and totally transfixed, totally focused on the Rosh Hashanah that was speaking at the time. And I even went over to him, I rubbed his arm, like I just pushed him a little bit. Not pushed him, but just wanted to tap him to get his attention. And he didn't move. He didn't look down to his right. He didn't even look at me. Now, I wasn't upset. I wasn't insulted. I was floored, actually. I was like, wow. Here we are in places with thousands of people. Everyone's looking, who do I know, who do I know, who do I know? And he's there, like a malach, totally focused on the speech at hand, trying to take into his soul whatever he can take into this Rosh Hashanah. You know what happened? I left last night without saying hello to my Rebbe, which is fine. See him on Shabbos, Mitzvah, I'll give him Shalom Aleichem, then it's totally fine. But you know what? That's what it means in a certain sense, to be a Baal Melacha Achas, to be focused on the task at hand, whatever the task is. I'll close with this. One of the great Rebbe said, what's the most important mitzvah in the Torah? So we could say it different. Pshat in this, that. So one of the holy Rebbe said the following. You know what the most important mitzvah in the Torah is? The mitzvah that you're doing right now. If it's Talmud Torah, it's Talmud Torah. If it's Birkas HaMazon, it's Birkas HaMazon. If it's Kriya Shema, it's Kriya Shema. Because you know what that means? It means you're a person that's focused in the task at hand. I said I was going to shout out to Chicago. Here it comes. And we close with this, really close with this. The great Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva was Nachum Tzvi Finkel. He grew up in Chicago. Went to the academy for elementary school. I think he went to Skokie Yeshiva for high school. I had a crown for high school. He was a giant. And if you look at his schedule, when he was in the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir, he had, supposedly, in his heyday, like over 100 chavrusas per week. And he made an impression on so many students. And he had the weight of the entire world of the Mir on his shoulders, millions of dollars of budgets he had to raise money to raise. I have a simple question. How do you make an impression? Such a deep impression on some people. There's only one answer I can think of. The answer is, when he was with you, he was totally with you. He wasn't with you and thinking about his next chavrusa, or his next business meeting to make money for the yeshiva, or his next shiur he was going to give. When he was with you, he was 100% in with you. When a person's 100% in with you, the amount they can accomplish is so great. That's what we learn from Malachim. Each Malach has one task. We should be zocher Rabosai to live our lives with this message, being focused 100% on the task at hand. One of the Shabbos of the Sabbath.